All right. Good morning, everyone, and welcome to the New Media Show. My name is Todd Cochran, and we've got a great show lined up for you today. But I want to take just a second and welcome my co-host, Rob Greenlee. Good morning, Rob. How are you?
Good morning, Todd. It's happy to be here again. It seems like these Saturdays come around pretty quickly. I don't know. Are the days going by faster now? Is my clock running faster? I don't know.
Well, it might be, but you're not spending a lot of time at home, so that could be
that's contributing to it. Yeah. I'm spending about 5 hours a week now on an airplane.
Well, it could be worse, but let me introduce our guest this morning before you and I chit chat too long and leave him alone up there in the upper square. Good morning, Gary. Welcome
to
the show.
Hello there. And I'm okay if you leave me up here. I won't get upset. I'll just listen and enjoy when I'm not talking.
Of course, those of you that have been in the new media space for any given time probably remember Gary either from Podcast Pickle. Probably that's where originally people remember. Of course, you've got a variety of things that you do these days in the softball space or fast pitch softball space, correct?
Yeah, I think from what I can figure out, you know, a few years ago, when I first started, I was more seen in the podcast space with Podcast Pickle. But then I started developing my own, going in my own niche of fast pitch softball. And it's surprising when you're out of the limelight of being a podcast or a tech guy, how podcast people forget you so quickly. You know, but yeah, I can pretty much control that niche of fast pitch softball.
You know, it is kind of true, though. You're out of sight, out of mind. And sometimes, you know, even being in the space for as long as I have, you run in. My problem is now I run into people and who are you?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's this constant influx of new people to the space all the time. And you know, Gary is a legend in our space. But the problem is that there's been a lot of people that have left the space and a lot of new people that have come into the space that that haven't heard of Gary and what Gary's done in the past and what he continues to do. And so, yeah, I think it's great that he's joining us today because hopefully we can rekindle that for him a little bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, it was kind of funny. I was talking to someone the other day, and they go, well, what do you do this for? Is it a hobby? And you just started doing it? And I was going, oh, no. I had to kind of like laugh. I was going, just started doing it just a hobby. But it's funny, yeah. Out of mind, you're right, Rob. Out of mind, out of sight, and yep. You know, to me, to make money out of podcasting, which a lot of people are trying to do, let's face it, I had to go to another thing besides tech, you know, because that was my fit, was going into something that I did my regular business for. I kind of jokingly call myself the Gary V of fast pitch softball. You know, it's the easiest way to describe it. He had a wine store. I have a softball store, and we both are doing the same thing with different products.
You know, and Gary Vee just got some ridiculous amount of money to do something. I don't know. He's a venture capitalist now. He's
a VC now. Yeah, he's a VC. That's the story on him now.
It's kind of funny. It's interesting how he worked his way into that. So, you know, all the success to him, but definitely a different space. Hey, before we get into the topic at hand today, I want to show you guys a couple of things. The folks over at Zoom, I think this is a Zoom product. Yes, Zoom sent me an IQ 5. I haven't opened it up to test it yet. So for those of you that don't know what this is a new basically microphone that attaches to an iPhone with the small connector, as you can see on the bottom. So I think this is the first microphone, at least they're calling it a professional microphone. So I'll be definitely with the Lightning connector. So I'll be definitely doing a review on this in the next week or so.
And of course, so does it also work with an iPad or an iPad mini too?
I would, let me look at the back. It shows it hooked to an iPhone, but I would assume that it will work with an iPad too, with the one with the Lightning connector. So my assumption would be there, Rob, it doesn't say directly on the packaging. But another thing that I got is you know, Kickstarters are the rage, and we'll actually talk about a little bit about a Kickstarter going on right now that I think we'll both be pleased about. Let me tear off the little sticker here so people don't need to see that. But I backed a Kickstarter from a company called SnapZoom, and people are like, what the heck is this? So if you look at this side of it, it's got some of these round ovals, and it's got a hole here and a mount. And basically what this does is you can take a iPhone, use the up and down piece here to snap it in, and then you put these on a binoculars.
Yeah, like a tripod or something?
Yeah, well, you put this on a tripod, but you can hook this to binoculars, and you get a telephoto lens with a iPhone. So if you've got a real, I know not everyone has binoculars, but some folks do, and if they've got a real nice pair or even a low-end pair, they've got themselves a telephoto lens for recording something with their iPhone. So this has been about 6 or 7 months coming, but the engineering on it's real nice. It's got a little screw segment here that opens up the area for the binoculars, and then you know, same type of deal on the backside. So the couple guys out of Hawaii did this, and so I think it was $60 or $70 or something like that to back on a Kickstarter.
Points for creativity on that one.
Yeah, that's say. And you know, if and I you think okay, put a set of binoculars in. Well, I was looking at some videos that have been done, and yeah, it's pretty good.
I would imagine.
Surprisingly good for you know, having the, you know, you don't have exact adapter. Now you got to focus it, of course, and that's what makes it good about binoculars is you can focus the, you know, get a good clear image and change.
That's
the zoom.
A pretty smart idea.
Yeah, it was.
Yeah, it is. That's what I mean. That took some out of the box thinking on that one.
Yep, it sure did. And of course, time will tell how well it works when, you know, you get a set of binoculars on here, and you know, I don't know if there's gonna be a weight issue, or they sent it with a little bar, so I think there's like a double support mechanism. So we'll see how it works.
What's the weight on that?
It's nothing. It's like, yeah, it's plastic, so you know, nothing.
I was wondering if it's like that thing that came out a few years ago, the owl that held the iPhone, how heavy that was. I was wondering if it was like that.
Yeah, it's really light. I was gonna bring up the webpage and show you guys. Here's some pictures. Oh, somebody's using it in their optometrist office. They're actually hooked it to a different type of a camera, but folks have hooked all, and it's not just the iPhone. Someone's hooked their flip phone that had a camera on it to it, so it really will adapt any type of phone. So Samsung, iPhone, so that it's agnostic when it comes to devices. So that's pretty cool. All right. Let's see here. Let's talk a little bit about your latest venture, Gary. What's the latest venture that you're launching today, but it may not be available for a few days?
Yeah, Pottertainment is the name of it. You can find out about it at pottertainment.com. That's PODERTAINMENT, like entertainment with a pod in front of it. But it's a podcasting magazine. You know, there's not one. I actually do a magazine for my fast pitch softball. That's why I'm doing this. I've done about 18 issues of that, so I'm getting pretty good at whipping these out, and I have all the people in place to help me. And I sent this information to a lot of people who I thought could move into the space, because I thought podcasting needed a magazine, to be honest with you. There's not one now. And no one seemed to either have the time or interest to do it, so I just kind of said, well, if I think it's such a good idea, then I'm pushing it on everybody. Yep, I guess I'm going to go ahead and do it. And so but that's how I got started.
Yeah, I know you had sent me an email saying, hey, here's this idea. Why don't you do it? And I'm like, I just didn't have the time. I know. And
yeah, as I said, it's busy. Everybody's busy, yeah. You know. And I've got it in place. There's no learning curve. I have the people. I have an assistant who helps me in place. I mean, for me, it wasn't this big of an issue as it would be for someone starting out. But, yeah, I kind of felt like I need to put my money where my mouth is. I thought it was a great idea to just do it. But I probably presented the idea to 10 other people, you know, before I did this. And, no, and like I said, for one reason or another, no one followed it up. But it's actually a magazine. It comes out every month. Middle of the month is when it's scheduled to come out. This month, you're right, it's going to be late. I forgot. Usually when I upload the magazine, it's available in 2 minutes. And I forgot I had not, I got to upload. I don't know how I forgot. I guess I'm an idiot. But I have to get the app approved first. Right. So I uploaded everything, and now I'm waiting for the app approval process. But once the app's approved, then it'll go live. So hopefully it won't be more than a week.
Yeah, they've been pretty quick, I think, lately on putting apps up and making them available, haven't they?
Well, my update for the, I just updated another magazine. It took like almost 8 days, to be honest with you.
Oh, really?
So I don't know if they're taking, I don't know if they're taking longer on those than they are regular apps, but it took a while, to be honest with you. I was kind of surprised because normally it takes like 2 days.
So we should probably say what app we're talking about and the platforms and things like that so listeners can know how and where they can get it. Yeah.
Well, right now, it's only available on the Apple products, iPad, iPod Touch, and iPhone. And you basically, to get the magazine, you go into the App Store, and you'll just search Pottertainment, and it'll come up. That's how it should come up. And then you get the free app. Once you get the app downloaded, you go into the app, and that's where you'll subscribe to the magazine. And the magazine will be $12.99 a year, so that's a lot less than a cup of coffee. You know, it'd be 12 issues, one issue a month. And then you could buy back issues as they build up in the store. But they'll be delivered to your iPhone. And they'll be in the, what I have to explain to a lot of people because they don't know, they'll be in the magazine newsstand. You know, in softball, most people don't know what that little newsstand's for. I think in this genre, more people are going to know, you know, in the tech world. But all your issues and your working stuff is in your newsstand.
And you're expecting at some point in the near future they're doing an update to the platform you use, and you may get Android in there later.
Yeah, I just received an email the other day. I've been doing this for 18 months in my normal industry of fast pitch softball, and I received an email maybe 3 weeks ago that they hope to have it available on all Android devices within the next 30 days. So it'll start off on just iOS, and it'll go into Android devices. So hopefully within the next month or two at the latest, it's available on most devices, most mobile devices.
So then the annual subscription is going to be $12.95. Back issues, a couple bucks or $3 or something like that for a back issue. And the app itself is going to be free. That's cool. How many, I know that the app's not up and available right now because of the approval process, but what, how many pages are we looking forward to in issue one?
Well, this issue one is 54 pages.
Wow.
My magazine, softball magazine, usually ends up around 70-something pages. You know, so this one's 54 pages. It's not a magazine full of ads or anything like that. All the writers are pretty much friends of mine. And something you don't know is I really take care. Well, you probably know. I take care of my friends. So the people who got in with me early on this are going to get some benefits for coming in and taking the time to come in as this develops down the road, which I'm not going to go into. But people who help me out, I always try to make it worth their time. And this will be that way, too. I'll probably stick with this main core of writers. I have one more. I'm adding Lynette Young. I'll probably stick with this core. Okay. And then we'll have a story basically from each writer every month, and then I'll have a couple of guest writers maybe, because I assume I have a lot of people in softball who want to guest write. So I would think in this niche I would have more. I think whatever I do in softball is going to be way bigger in this niche for some reason. You know, so.
Well, let's go through the writer lineup. We've got Dan Franks. We had him on.
Now Dan he's helping me with the podcast movement.
Yep. Of course, you got myself and Rob. You've got Brian.
Two good looking guys.
Yeah, absolutely. Brian Abbott, of course, he's been in the space a long time. He's the host of Coverville. And then we've got
writing about music and stuff, which is a.
Yeah, and other podcasts he's involved in too. Yeah, not just Coverville.
Right. He's got that new podcast that cleaned up at the Podcast Awards.
Yep.
So
this is the one he wanted to promote in his bio. So,
and then we've got Dave Jackson, of course, and Dave is well known in space. And we've got Daniel Lewis, Jennifer Navarrete. I'm not familiar with Kine Tron.
He runs for Geekbeat TV. A lot of their stuff there, and he's doing product reviews. Cool. He's a really sharp guy. But he's one of those behind-the-scenes guys that no one knows him.
Right.
He does a lot of work.
Very, very cool. And then, of course, you got Rob Walsh of Podcast 411 and Libsyn as well. So so that's the initial group.
And then Lynette Young should join next month. It was just too much of a rush for her because I didn't ask her until Podcast Expo. I'm sorry, until New Media Expo. So she'll be joining the staff, and that'll be the regular. You know, and I asked everybody who I did this with to give me a year, you know, because I found that is what it took. It takes a while to get this established and going before you see the results of it. Because people do this stuff for different reasons. Some people do it for exposure. Some people do it because they just want to do it. They want to write. And right. Some people do it because they want money to come to their links and build an audience. So it takes a while to get that established. I know in softball, I have like maybe 2,000 subscribers now. And I would think this, I just feel some reason in this niche, I keep saying that this is going to do 3 to 4 times what softball does on everything is what I feel like. Because people don't even know how to subscribe. Softball coaches. At least my audience knows how to use iTunes.
Right. That's true. Is there any option from somewhere down the road of this being web-based where you can make it actually available via the web where people can subscribe to it that way as well? Or
I'm talking to a company right now, and I can't think of their name. They've approached me for the softball one about doing that. So I am talking to them right now, and they do the model everywhere. But I'm talking with them just about doing it on web-based. So I am looking into that, to be honest. But I just started looking at that within the last month. But they're – and I wish I could think of the name of this company – they have a great lineup of stuff. Their magazines are great. And they have all that. I just can't think of the name of it, to be honest with you.
Does it take?
But yeah, we're looking at.
Does it take? What you're going to say? Does it? You know, every system has its system, so you'd almost have to publish it twice, right? Because nothing you do in one will work in the other, probably.
Well, on iTunes, what you do works in all their stuff. But from what I've read so far on the Android version, Android has a lot of different sizes compared to the 3 that Apple basically has. So I'll probably have to said something about you'd have to do more than one size. So that'd be a little bit more work to get to the Android audience.
Right.
Hey Gary, is it possible to add it to, let's say, the magazine, I guess, store in the iTunes platform? The iOS platform? Is it possible?
It is in a magazine store.
Okay.
It will be in a magazine store.
Oh, okay. I thought it was a separate app. Is that right? Or
well, when you go to the magazine store and find it, you click on it and it downloads the app or something. But it's in there for sure. That's
okay.
And when you get the app, when you go to the iTunes App Store and search for it, I don't know. I just know that's where it's at.
Gotcha.
So then it ends up in the magazine list ultimately is where it ends up, Rob. So
I gotcha.
But
okay.
I think the app is the gateway to get the issue. So that's cool. Well, I be honest with you, I'm looking forward to reading all the articles. I know, of course, you read them because you're putting it together. Anything that stands out that you're going to go, wow, or is it just a lot of good introductory information, or how do you feel the first?
I thought your article was pretty interesting, to be honest with you, about your set. Your article was good. And Dan had a pretty timely article on, you know, because he's a CPA on taxes,
right.
Using your podcast expenses and your taxes. So at this time of the year, I thought it was a good article.
Well, that's good.
I'm really trying to repeat the model that I did in softball because that worked for me, and who knows if that's going to work or not. But I want this to be more of a magazine that's an educational magazine, so people are actually learning something. This isn't a magazine where we go, here's the top 10 magazines on iTunes this week, or you know, here's you know a fluff thing. I kind of want it to be where people go, gosh, I'm trying to learn something. And what I usually do is whoever's on the cover. This month, puts Ravenscraft. I have a video session of them giving a clinic or a session. So you know, if you go to the magazine and you see someone on the cover, you go, "Oh, they're like doing a clinic in that magazine." I call it a clinic because I'm talking softball now. They're doing a training session. I'd like to see a training session from that person, and so you can identify quickly, you know, what's in the magazine.
Very, very cool.
You know, a lot of these clinics aren't available.
Yeah.
You know, plane anywhere else. You know, if you want to do that, you got to go somewhere. Already. And spend a lot of money where for $2.99, you just bought one issue. You get almost an hour training session from somebody. It's a good value to me. And that seems to be working for the magazine because, you know, I get emails all the time from coaches who just are going crazy. You know, I can't believe I got this full session for, because you know, they're used to buying videos for $40, you know, to see that same thing, you know.
So is there, as a writer then, is it possible to submit video clips with our pieces or how does that work?
Yes, Jim did that this month.
Wow.
But the only thing is I have to, you have to send me the actual file. Because sure. I don't want to take a chance on a year from now, someone deleting that file, you know, and then I got a magazine, someone buys the back issue and the main thing they were buying it for is gone.
Right.
Yeah. And also another thing, which is kind of nice about it, everybody gets to read on every issue, the first 9 pages for free.
Oh.
So they can go in there, see what it looks like, and see the full table of contents, who's in there that month. And they're going to get to read one article, you know, probably in that many pages. They've got the cover counts as a page, and the last page is a thing that says, hey, if you like this, please subscribe. So I guess there's really 7 pages, you know. But you get to read a little bit and see the quality of it and see the table of contents to see everything that's in the magazine. And decide if it's worth looking at or not. And check it out.
So are you going to have any like guest writers that write for like maybe one issue or, you know, from different parts of the industry, or is that a model that you're going with?
This issue, as a matter of fact, already I have Cynthia Sanchez, who's real big in the world of Pinterest, writing about using Pinterest to promote your podcast and how to make your podcast images for the Pinterest the most efficient. It's a pretty good article. Cynthia's a really pretty smart cookie. I think she spoke at New Media Expo.
Yeah.
So she's writing it. And that's why I said I'll probably have one or two of those a month at least. Then people can just send submissions if they go to the website, pottertainment.com. It tells you how to do it. And I'll be adding a lot to that website now that the issue is getting ready to come out. Once it comes out, we'll have a video of the little preview thing on there, and then the covers of each issue, and then what stories are in each issue, and you'll be able to also link from there to buy it. But yeah, I definitely am doing that, Rob.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, that'll add a lot of kind of variety to the publication, I would think, every month. One thing I wanted to ask is a little bit about the podcast movement conference and kind of your philosophy of community in the podcast space. And I know you've been around and you remember back in the early days of the podcast expo. And do you think it's possible to reproduce that again? Or has the industry changed so much that it's hard to go back?
Well, I think I'm the one who's wanting to reproduce that. Because
I think a lot of people want it. Yeah. It's just, is it really possible, do you think, to reproduce that?
I think it is to a degree. I don't think you're going to reproduce it completely, but I was talking to, Clifton this morning from the comedy podcast he does. I'm drawing a blank name, you know, about the reproducing what Dr. Floyd used to do, you know, out there at Podcast Expo. I really, you know, enjoyed all the Podcast Expos, whether I was showing a booth or whether I was just attending. And then when I went to the first Blog World, I was really let down because I had a whole nother perspective I had looked at it from. So I don't know if we're going to be able to reduce it completely, but I think at least ways I know what it was, you know, to work on that goal. You know,
sure.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. I know they're having a dinner one night. I don't think I'm even going to the dinner. I want to get another event going where everybody can come.
Right.
You know, that's an open house for everybody who's attending to come hang out. You know, they did. And when I say anything about New Media Expo, I'm not knocking those. That's a great event. It's just a whole nother event. And we say that ahead of time. But, you know, I never saw anything like that this year at New Media Expo. They had a thing that I was went to and I enjoyed it and I appreciated being invited. But it was a small crowd in there. It was not a big, you know, thing where everybody could get together. There wasn't really, one of the things, as soon as I'd get to Podcast Expo at that hotel in Ontario, I would almost make a straight beeline to that bar, you know, because everybody was hanging out in there. You could meet a ton of people in there.
Yeah, I think I you're totally correct. You know, I think the funnest part of a lot of the podcast expo was the, you know, like the Lipson party and those kind of things where everybody was just getting together and having a great time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Todd had a party. Oh. I had a party for Podcast Pickle. I mean, there were parties. You could go party hopping.
Yeah. And people did.
And so, yeah. It was a matter of getting sweets. You were just trying to get the suite. I was reserving mine. When I got there, I said, I want to reserve the suite for next year. You know, so yeah. And I didn't see that or I am so removed from podcasting nowadays because I'm doing my own niche and I'm not in that world. I wasn't invited, which could have been too.
Well, in Vegas, it there was never, first of all, to have a party in the hotel in Vegas, as soon as you say suite, they want to, you know, lock you down and cater you and bartender you. And, you know, the next thing you're looking at is $25,000, and literally, and the ability to, you know, get people to come is hard because we, you know, you just have a, you know, it's a time space continuum of Vegas. You walk into a hotel, you walk 5 miles before you ever get to an elevator door. You know, one thing that we did a couple of years ago, and it's the last big party we had, was at the, I'm going to forget the name of the place now. Swanky, it was fantastic. We had Elvis there. We had Showgirls. It was a restaurant that had a bar. And, you know, in the heyday of Podcast Expo, we would have, 200-300 people that would come through in an evening. Maybe, you know, to come through the room and at the suite that we'd have. But I think this party we had in Vegas, we had maybe at max 200. And, I laid down over 12 grand for that party, you know, just to have it at that event.
And at Podcast Expo, I rented a suite for the biggest suite they had at that hotel for $300, I think, maybe $350 a night. I went to the liquor store.
Yep.
Of course, the liquor brought them in. And then went and bought food at that place and brought it in.
Yep.
And I had a party, and I bet we had 200 people in there one time. We were getting shut down.
Right.
So, I mean, you know, that's a big difference between $12,000 and Pittsburgh open house. And Rob Walsh used to have a podcast poker tournament, which you can't, I guess you probably definitely can't have that in Vegas in your room.
Yeah, that's true. And, you know, and what we did to mitigate the noise issue was I bought 5 rooms on either side of the suite, both sides of the hallways to mitigate the noise situation. And
I remember in Vegas, meaning Ontario, I had bought the suite and both rooms on both sides. And when they checked in, they said, oh, the guy won't leave his room. He's got another night he's staying. You can't have it until tomorrow. I said, really? I said, are you serious? And he goes, yes, whatever. And so by midnight or 11 o'clock, they were over there knocking on the door going, y'all got to keep it quiet. And I said, no way. I told you this was going to happen. And so they moved him to another room at like 1 o'clock.
There's a lot of crazy creative people back at that that first podcast expo, you know, the Lipson parties and
the
naked women walking around with the with the body painting.
Yeah, that, all that, that, was mean, us. Like, that was us. Yeah,
that was some wild times back then. That was, you know, that was when podcasting was like kumbaya. You know, everybody was coming and everybody was just a great time. And you walked around hearing people's voices and going, are you Scott Fletcher? from their voice. You know, I actually got a really funny story. The first podcast expo I went to, I'm on my plane leaving Dallas and I'm maybe on the 20th row and I hear someone talking 5 rows ahead of me I've never met. And I said, is that Scott Fletcher up there? Scott goes, Gary Leland. And then a guy in the back of the airplane goes, hey, I'm back. And we both at the same time said his name. I couldn't remember what it was, but it was so weird. But that trip started off right.
Yeah, Gary, I think the first time that I met you was when you were in your pickle costume, actually, at the conference.
In all secrecy, I've never wore that outfit.
You haven't.
I've never worn it, but I've never even put it on.
I thought you did. I thought you were in that costume.
I've always hired someone to put it on. That thing's way too long. I'm not getting that.
It was cooking like 100 degrees, you know. I could.
Oh, maybe it's the same the guy in Atlanta during Dragon Con when I went there. That kid was dying in there. I made him take that baby out. He was a trooper, though. But now we've rebranded the pickle. It is now the Pottertainment pickle. And it will be at the Podcast Movement. But the thing about the pickle is that it's so interesting. It's amazing how many people will line up and how long they'll line up to get their picture taken with the pickle.
Right.
That was the best advertising piece I ever did. If I still search pickle, that guy hadn't made an appearance in 7 years. And I still search pickle. He comes up super high. I mean, it used to be the whole front page of pickle on Google images. But he's dropped off, but he's still pretty high on there for not being around in 5 years.
Gary, you're going to have to bring the pickle back for the conference, I think.
But he's definitely going to be there. Like I said, he's rebranded Pottertainment Pickle. And then when he goes South by Southwest, all those kids are sticking stickers all over his back. You got to have another guy with him just to keep the stickers off his back.
Oh, man.
That glue will get on that fabric and the residue.
I was going to go over to the images and see if I could find a pickle. Yeah, here he is. All right, so here comes
pickle.
Here comes the page. So, okay, for example, here there's a picture of the pickle. Oh, man. You
know, 1 year at South by Southwest, when the music section kicked off, the music part of that, the pickle had a challenge from a cactus out of Phoenix to do a dance contest. Who was the best dancer? So as they kicked off the music part in the tent on the stage before the music starts, here comes this cactus mascot and a pickle to do a dance off at the opening for South by Southwest. And the pickle lost.
If I remember right.
That was Corey from Iota. So I still wasn't in it. So she lost, but the pickle held his own.
So if I remember correctly, you spent a couple $1,000 on that outfit, didn't you?
Yeah, it was around $2,000. It was made like by the same company that makes Major League Baseball stuff. I mean, I went to a baseball show for Major League Baseball, and they were there with their booth selling to teams.
Oh, that's funny.
And I saw them. I said, "This is what we need for the pickle." I said, "Sure, we can make one."
Smart marketing, I'll tell you that.
Yeah. I said it got everywhere. Really, people. Matter of fact, 1 year I was speaking to Andrew, who does Rocket Boom down at South by Southwest 1 year, and they had this big talk there and that he attended. I'm not sure what it was. And he came up to tell me, he said, "Yeah, during the talk, they were showing these images and you had to come up with what you saw right away. And one of them was the podcast pickle." So he got around.
That's funny. So, you know, the podcast movement funded in 1 day. That's
like 8 hours.
That was pretty incredible. So right now they're at 96 backers, $15,000, with still 27 days to go.
And $11,000 was our goal. Yeah. So that worked out real well. I think there's a demand for what we're doing here, something for podcasting, by podcasters for podcasters. That's how I'm kind of looking at it.
Yeah.
You know, I just really enjoy going to a podcast, and nothing wrong with, like I said, again, New Media Expo. It's just a whole nother thing than we're trying to put on. And we're trying to put on something for podcasters, if you want. And we want to have different types of tracks, beginning tracks, advanced tracks, you know, really more into, since it's only about one thing, I think it's easier to do that.
Yeah. You know, and we see it every day. We don't really advertise our consulting business too much at Blueberry. It just comes naturally because of the customers. And, I run a report every month of how many consulting calls we do. We don't charge a lot of money. We charge $100 an hour. But they get a professional that's been in the space that can work with them. And
it's a fair price.
We feel it is. We're not trying to get rich off it, but we also understand people we're sensitive to their budgets. And I'm telling Angela, I said, "My God, at some point here soon, we're going to have to hire someone just to handle the consulting calls." It's almost the point where it can almost pay for itself, pay for the employee to do that. And so what we find in these calls is that there is this huge desire to, I guess for a better word, get it right. Get it right the first time. And because, you know, I think we've all seen so many people just fail out of the gate because, number one, they got excited and they just said, I can do this, and didn't put a lot of thought into it. And so we've been helping a lot of people get it right the first time. And then more and more, we're finding now we're having to go in and do multi-hour sessions with corporations because someone's come in and rebuild a website and totally screwed their media presence up. And because what happens is the the content the designers, the website designers out there, their only thought is blogging, and they completely discount the audio or video media that maybe a company's doing, gets shoved to a back page. And, you know, we get calls with people panicking because they're like, my audience disappeared. And I'm like, and it's like, because they're not getting fed into, you know, the RSS feed's either jacked or they're five pages in. So a lot of those calls are coming in too. So I think it's a good idea on Podcast Movement to have the full spectrum, the full spectrum of sessions. And that's going to be a challenge in itself, navigating it for sure. But I think that's smart.
Yeah, thanks. You know, like I said, this is our first one. None of us have ever done this before. So I'm sure for as many things as we do right, we'll do a lot wrong. You know, and I'm just saying that up front because this is our first one, and I'm sure it'll be a big learning curve for us. But we'll correct it. That's for sure if we do something wrong, and we'll apologize.
You know, and I think, you know, what's the main thing is if people leave having a good time, regardless of the sessions, that's, you know, if it's, you know, we talked about it last week. I don't want to kill a dead horse over here, but, you know, if people leave having felt like, what I want to leave is I want to leave feeling I just left a family reunion. That's what I want to leave. And I want to have
that. And that's kind of what Expo was. That's a good way to describe it. You saw all those people who were friends of yours that you listened to all during the year, and you got to see them time of year. So it's kind of like those people you listened to were talking to your friends, family on the phone.
Yep.
And you got to see it that one time a year. And you got to talk about stuff you enjoyed.
Yeah. And none of us remember the sessions from the first Podcast Expo. The only thing we remember from the Podcast Expo is how much fun we had. So,
yeah,
I think there's a big takeaway from that.
I agree completely. I agree with that 100%. And like I said, that's my goal part is I want this to be a great event. I mean, not just the conference. I want this to be a great weekend. So everybody goes, hey, I'm coming back next year. Right. I had a great time.
Yeah.
And I learned a lot.
Yeah. I think that's, you know, and I think we all, you know, when I, you know, not to, I don't want to, you know, say anything bad about Blog World and New Media Expo or New Media Expo, because they, you know, Rick and the gang over there, they've really worked hard to improve that conference and make the podcasters feel welcome. Yeah. I think they've largely succeeded.
They have too.
And the challenge still is I think that the bloggers are, here's what I kept telling bloggers at New Media Expo. They kept saying, "Oh, podcasting's dead." And I'm like, "Well, are you making a full-time living blogging?" Well, no. I said, "Well, I am making a full-time living podcasting." That was my response to the bloggers that were poo-pooing. But so, you know, and I think what happens is I think we have a lot of folks in this space that are friendly, down to earth, social. There's not a lot of this, you know.
Podcasters are so willing to, I have found, compared to other things, they're so willing to step up and help each other. They're not like, that's my competitor. I'm not helping them.
Right.
That's not what happens in this sphere. This is an area that people are so willing to help each other, answer people's questions, do anything they can to help them. Take Dave Jackson, for example. You know, he is buddies with all his competition, all those people who are doing things just like him, trying to train people in the podcasting. He's with them all the time.
Yep.
He's hanging out with them the whole time at New Media Expo. Podcasters, I think, are a different breed.
And they're sharing notes and you know, it's willingly sharing. It's, yeah, it's, and I think what it, I think part of it is we launched this space, you know, we launched this space, this group of podcasters that, you know, even podcasters that are relatively new, the medium still is young. We're the ones that launched and moved this space forward. So there's a certain amount of pride in that.
Yeah. Pride and ownership. Yeah. Right. And it's the same concept.
And we want to, you know, we want to have the podcasting space look like that nice Escalade that's on the lot, or, you know, we want this thing to be nice and shiny and we want people to improve and, we want people to make money if they can and build their audiences. So it's only going to move the space forward. You know, I compete with, you know, with Rob, from a business perspective, and, you know, him and I, have a difference in opinion and philosophy and certain things, but it's good. Some people buy into my philosophy. Some people buy into Rob's philosophy, but one is not necessarily, well, I think my philosophy is better, but you know, Rob probably thinks his philosophy is better too. So, you know, there's two trains of thought on any,
so you're talking about Rob Walsh, right?
Yeah, Rob Walsh. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, yeah, not Rob Greenlee.
Though,
that's a perfect example.
Right. We share a common core.
Right. 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 Sure. So, but I think it just what it boils down to really is that, you know, we all want the content creators to be successful. That's it. Of course, Gary, you know, it's kind of interesting. You found these cool little niches. You know, to do the magazine, I think the magazine's going to be a roaring success. At least I hope it is.
Yeah, I think so.
But you know, I mean, I don't know if you've ever been to my website, GaryLeland.com. That's kind of like where you can go to see what I actually do. Most people don't have any idea what I do. So actually, that's why I made a blog, was so people could see what I do.
Right.
You can see all my stores or all my podcasts or all my websites or blah, 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 blah. But you know, I do a lot of things, and some of them make me a lot of money, and some of them make me a little bit of money. But you know, you put them all together, and this could be one of those ones that makes me a little bit of money. But I put them all together, and you know, I make a good income off of the internet.
By the are you going to be grandpa for the first time?
That's what it looks like.
Yeah, this started out as just what I did for a living.
Yeah.
You know, just to tell me what I did. Now it's kind of grown into a blog also. But I have a good time with everything I do. You know, everything I do, I like. And I like podcasting. And I've kind of like been out of that space for a while. And I like the people in podcasting. So I thought this was a good opportunity to get myself back into that space.
Now,
and then the podcast movement was an accident that happened. You know, so I wasn't even planning on that happening.
I got to go back. I got to go back to this thing about your becoming a grandfather. Your daughter, yeah. I know she's out here in Hawaii, and their husband's, if I remember correctly, in the Air Force. And so she mailed you a package, huh?
Yes, she mailed us a box and told us we had to call her when we got the package because she had to be on what we do FaceTime. And we don't call her really. She had to be on FaceTime when we opened the package.
So
inside was a little paper stove made out of paper, and it said that they had a bun in the oven. That's how she knew it.
That's great.
But my daughter is such a planner. They wanted to have their baby in Texas, so they get transferred here. Their baby's due August 1st. They get transferred here like May. And right. You're like living in Louisiana, like a mile from the border. So they're going to have their baby over on the other side of the border be in Texas. They want that kid born in Texas for some reason. So she planned it all out perfect.
Yeah, that's cool. Well,
and she didn't. And you had talked to her and offered her an opportunity there, which matter of fact, my wife and I were talking about that last night. That how we just were so amazed that she didn't take advantage of that opportunity you offered her. And I appreciated you offering her that opportunity. We still to this day are totally amazed that she didn't take your opportunity, because she's successful at everything she does. She would have been successful at it too. But I'm kind of confused to this day about that. But thank you for that opportunity you gave her, by the way.
Yeah, well, you know, the she's I think the space needs a lot of smart women. You know, it's it's an interesting it's actually an interesting interlude because I've been working on a campaign all this week for basically a well-known national company that wants only women podcasters on the advertising campaign. I think their co-hosts, that's cool, but they don't want the guys that are involved in the campaign to be any basically doing the ad spot. They want the ladies to do it. And so, you know, I'm, you know, so first time really ever that I've been asked to find just ladies. So one thing we hadn't done in the database is we hadn't put in the database male or female for, you know, who's the host is, you know, is the host. So I had to dig through the list to say, okay, there's a woman's name. There's a woman's name. And then basically pull their data out of the system. And we were able to come up with the, I think 43. And now this is actually kind of sad. I found 43 shows that could qualify for the campaign, and they had a certain minimum number of audience members they had to have to qualify. But there was only 50 or 60 more women that were actually in my total list of like maybe 4,000 eligible shows. So there is definitely plenty of room in the space for the ladies. And then,
so Todd, is that counting female podcasters that are doing podcasters on other networks? Maybe not part of your network, or
it's podcasters on my network.
Yeah. Okay. Gotcha. Yeah.
But you know, still, I've got majority of them. There's very few that are doing podcasts that are outside of my network. Maybe a handful, 10, 20. We've got the majority of them that we're tracking. Some that are not on the network that are still using our stats that we can sell to as well. So,
gotcha.
But yeah, if she ever gets the itch there, Gary, to do a show, just keep us in mind.
I will. It's funny. We were shit talking about that last night, you know, cause we're still dumbfounded. That was a perfect opportunity for her. She could have done it anywhere she traveled.
Right.
I don't know.
Please
bring it up because we're so confused.
Well, you know, there's also, chemistry involved in any type of, you know, maybe, you know, maybe I wasn't necessarily the guy she wanted to do business with too. So, you know, there's always lots of things that go into people's decisions. And, you know, Hawaii is hard to, you know, it's easy to get distracted in Hawaii. There's a lot to do here. And
yeah, she's enjoyed her 3 years there. So,
yeah.
We've enjoyed going once a year, once every other year to visit her, that's for sure.
Yeah. So, Rob, so any other thoughts then on podcast movement or on the magazine?
Well, not specifically. You know, I wanted to mention one thing I've been thinking about lately, and actually for the last probably the last year or so, is one thing that I think that the space is missing right now is a kind of like the old podcasting news blog that used to be a site that I would go visit to,
yeah,
and go visit and read articles on for years, and they've basically stopped posting new content to that.
Than there ever has been.
What's that?
There's probably more news now than there ever has been.
Yeah, exactly. But there's no singular publication or blog or anybody that's focused on this space that I'm aware of, anyway.
No, that was a good, so I think there's a good blog. I check that every day myself when that was out.
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, and it's I've had conversations with those folks over there, and it's, you know, I would like to see it revised. And at this point, I don't know what their plan is.
Used to run their feed through the Podcast Pickle forums. I mean, it was an active part of the forums.
Yeah.
Oh, sure.
I don't know if they just ran out of time
I think so.
You know, there's probably enough content that's going, there's enough stuff happening in the space that you could probably have 2-3 articles a week easily.
Yeah.
Maybe half dozen a week.
Podcasting news pod faded is what they did.
Yes, they did. They did pod fade. And
I haven't heard that term in a while.
But it's a term that has a lot of application to even today.
Yeah. It's that's a term that's alive and well. It's very it's actually a very healthy term, sadly.
Yes.
And so I guess you guys know who came up with that term since you're old school.
Oh.
No, I don't know that we do.
Uh-huh. Scott Fletcher actually invented that word.
He came up with podcast fading. Podcast fading.
Just pod fading.
Pod fading.
Pod fader, I think. On his show. He used to that show he did for about 6 months. Great show. I used to love it. I can't even think of the name of it, but he said it on that show and it took off.
Yep. Well, very, very cool. So, you know, Rob, you know, maybe it's just time to just launch into the site with, you know, with news. Once we get this show, what we're going to do is this show's going to go on its own multi-use. Basically, I'm changing Geek News Central up where there'll be every show that's on the network will have its own basically domain and landing page, and we'll be on a multi-user site. And then Geek News Central itself will have some widgets on the front page. It'll still promote all the other shows, but maybe we can start doing some just regular blog articles on the new media, right in that that blog, so we give them something to read during the week while we're not podcasting.
Yeah, that's a good idea, I think. So would you take some of your kind of writers that you have for the Geek News Central and put them on that?
Probably not, because they're not the guys I have are all techie, but I'll reach out in the space and the key. You know, the
I would find a few.
The challenge, you know, and here's anything that you have to deal with when you're especially writing about the space. You have to be careful because it can become pretty agendized pretty quick. You're going to turn people off if you're.
Exactly.
You know, so you have to be real careful. And so you have to have the writers that are going to come in that, you know, there are going to be strict rules on, you know, not pushing agendas. It's just like a conference, you know, essentially if you're going to write tech, I can bash anyone I want, you know, or praise or complain about a product. But, you know, it's a different story when you're doing if you own a podcasting company and you have a show that's, or have a blog that's writing about the space, very quickly it could just turn and piss people off. So you have to bring in the right type of writers. Probably best thing to do is not be involved in the writing process at all. Let other people do the writing.
Yeah.
Plus or minus.
And those writers need to understand the culture of podcasting too, and have some reference point to where the sensitivities are in this space, because there are clear sensitivities, but a lot of the times new people coming into the space aren't, you know, and this is companies too, not just podcasters, are just not knowledgeable about those sensitivity areas. And I think that's another reason that a kind of a new site like this might be a great thing, is to keep everybody aware of what the issues are in the industry and where the sensitivities are. And not take an agenda, but just be a source of communication of the culture of podcasting and the business of podcasting.
It's kind of interesting. You know, on a regular basis, don't have a lot of positive things to say about the RIAA. And one of the sub-organizations, I shouldn't say sub-organization, another organization out there is called BMI. And they're involved in licensing music and stuff like that. And so I had a new listener email me with the BMI.com email address. And I was like, oh. So he had made a comment on something I had said about the Charter/Time Warner merger. And I replied to him back and said, hey, thanks for your comments. But by the way, here's a problem we're seeing in the podcasting space with the, you know, copyrighted music. Do you know anybody at BMI that can help us? So, you know, and he's probably like, ooh, maybe I have to be careful here. But, you know, long story short, there are ongoing issues, and sometimes it's just getting someone to listen to what the issue is to come up with a solution.
Yep, that's true. That's certainly true.
And, you know, I did kind of have to laugh the other day, too, because I saw, I shouldn't laugh, some guy was really pissed off because one of the sites that we've had, or one of the new podcasting apps that we've had them on the show, had basically crawled his feed and added his show to the app without his permission. And they weren't doing anything wrong. They're attributing back to him. They were, you know, basically not sticking any ads in the content. But this guy was, I mean, two ways besides himself that, you know, that they had added it without my permission and making money off him and not really kind of thinking about the distribution benefits of being on the app. And, you know, my only comment back was that there, you know, this is something that's been well known for a long time. People syndicate podcasts all over the place. But it would be nice if the client that you're on would send a signal back like Stitcher does to let us know when someone's listening. So that was my own.
Yeah, or Swell, or, you know, right, doing the same thing.
Right. Yep. So, and I think it was actually, well, I won't say there, but this guy was really, really mad. But I think it's really a lack of maybe education, because we're all, you know, of us have been in space a long time. Distribution's good, you know?
Yeah. You know, I think that that philosophy that all distribution is good, I think that there's a growing segment of this of the business community around podcasting that maybe is starting to question that.
Really?
And I think that's true. And I mean it depends on how you look at the issue, right? And I think one of the big concerns, and this is something I've been thinking about for a long time, is for us to get really fantastic client level usage metrics, and not all podcasting apps have hooks in these clients, right? That can report back usage and maybe get involved in premium content. Those kind of things, you have to have client and application support to enable this podcast industry to move forward as a business platform for content, and it may at some point mean that some certain segments of content isn't put out to every podcast app or client, because the apps that they want to work with are the ones that have those tracking capabilities and the e-commerce capabilities. So anyway, those are the type of issues that the industry needs to talk about, because I think it's happening, and I think that the other issue that you're talking about of redistribution, right, and, you know, the Swell and the Stitcher issues, that also is part of that bigger conversation. So anyway,
but I don't know if you're going to be able to stop it, you know.
That's true.
If you do want to stop it, you're going to have to reach out to that provider and say, remove me. If you've got an open RSS feed, depending on how you have your content licensed, you know, they're just going to pull it in, because what I heard at NAB last year was everybody wants content. There's this, you know, Gary, here we've got 200,000 podcasts. We've got X number of YouTubers. What is it? Millions of YouTubers. And people on a variety of different platforms, but yet there's a dearth of content available that people that are building platforms are just dying for content. Seems crazy, doesn't it?
Yeah, there's a lot of content out there.
But the challenge is, I think that there's a lot of content, but they still want more.
Well, or Todd, is the conversation more that they want more high quality content, or what they perceive to be high quality content? I think that there's a disconnect in perception around just wanting content and just wanting really engaging, high quality audience building content. And I think that there is a difference there.
There is, but it goes the gamut. Some are just looking for fill. Some are looking for
But
typically, when they try to get someone that's a little bit bigger, the first thing the person wants to do is, "Well, give me money to have my content," and and oftentimes those platforms don't scale large enough to make it worthwhile for them to write a check to that person.
Yeah, and it's also, I think another issue that's going to start coming up more and more is as bigger and bigger, you know, named people get involved in podcasting, is that you know, these platforms or these networks or so maybe more and more put in a position where maybe they have to pay people guarantees, and that kind of guarantees that they're going to make a certain amount of money. These are common practices that have been going on in the entertainment space for a long time, right? You know, to do a movie or to do a TV show, you know, a certain star or celebrity gets paid a certain guarantee, you know, like a signing bonus almost, to get involved in the space. And so you have these pulls around trying to build this medium as a large medium that's going to gather and grow audience. And I think it's an issue that that's going to drive more premium content, and it's going to drive, I think, more control around distribution to platforms that can be monetized.
Well, I think for 98% or 99% of the content, that'll never be an issue, though.
That's right. Yeah, I think what I'm talking about is kind of the short tail of the content, not the long tail. But I'm not saying that, you know, I think that both sides need to grow and both sides will grow.
Right.
But I also think there's another thing that's kind of brewing out there too, and that's platforms that will enable anyone to easily become a podcaster to one-to-one to one-to-many via their mobile devices. And I think that those platforms are coming. You know, I think, you know, what you showed at the beginning of the show with that little clip-on that yep. goes to your iPhone is part of what I'm talking about. It's giving everyday people the tools to be able to do what we do here, but in a far simpler way.
I think the majority of folks, though, will just stick their stuff on YouTube.
Yeah, but that's not going to be a place for audio content. I think... But you're right. That's what's going to happen with video. I have seen people
telling people to put their audio content on there.
Yeah, it is weird. No,
it's being done. Yeah.
Yeah, it is weird though, finding YouTube pages with just audio. It's usually I'm like that. That's kind of stupid, and I move on because I don't really think it's the place to put it. But some people do just to do it.
Yeah.
I think they're using the logic: if 5 people watch it, it's 5 more people. Yeah.
It's like a sampling platform. They're going to where they think their audience might be. And though I'm not so sure that that's the case, I mean, I don't know. I've heard of podcasters that have had success. They think they've had success driving audience growth by posting their audio with a promo video image, and are actively doing that kind of stuff. So, all these things are worth doing and trying to see if it works for you in your demographic of your show.
One thing we've seen too recently is that folks are, you know, they're trying the latest and greatest like media players on their websites, and they're just really, they're out there trying to make themselves look different. And, you know, what's ended up happening is they're breaking their core function of their sites by, you know, putting something in that's definitely not compatible or has been tested, and it looks pretty, and it works nice, but then all of a sudden they're like, how come my RSS feed has got this weird code in it, and where did that come from? And it's because, you know, they've in order to do something nice and pretty and cool, and they paste it in, it completely breaks the RSS feed. So there's a lot of companies that could care too less about RSS, and as more people adopt players or put technology on their websites, they're going to be real careful to make sure they don't break their core, you know, the core mechanism that gets them where they need to be.
And I do think that RSS is going to disappear from the concern of listeners out there. I think
I think that's already gone. Yeah, from a listener standpoint.
Well, I don't think it's 100% gone. I think it's fading away. I think it's, you know, that's another, it's a podcast feed fade that's happening. Is that, you know, in your numbers from your podcast awards are classic from that, right? Or the research that you share as part of your State of the Podcast Union, the trends are clearer in there.
But the thing is, though, I'm not trying to say that the RSS, what I'm trying to say is the RSS feed is what continues to allow this space to work. Yeah, but the listeners don't care anymore.
Yeah, don't misunderstand me. What I'm saying is that as far as listeners are concerned, RSS is irrelevant.
Yeah, it is. It's irrelevant.
Do they even know what it is? I mean,
yeah, they don't have to,
Yeah. I mean, it shouldn't be something that any listener has to be concerned about cutting and pasting an RSS feed around. I think the faster we move away from that, the better, I think.
I think those days are luckily pretty much long gone. I don't think there's too many. From a legacy standpoint, you have to keep it on your website. But from a listener standpoint, you don't. But it's still, like I said, what happened in this particular instance last week was that someone had put a player on their blog post, and some of that code trickled into their RSS feed and broke their RSS feed, and no longer could iTunes grab it. And so all of a sudden their feed went invalid, and they didn't even notice for like 2 or 3 weeks. And then they started saying, what's happening with my stats? I'm like, we don't even show your last 3 episodes. They're like, what do you mean? I'm like, you broke something.
Yeah, I mean, and that's the reason that if you're going to be a podcaster, you have to create a separate feed for your podcast, not just use your blog feed as your podcast.
They were using the podcast feed, but again, what they changed to this new player, they dropped this new player in there.
Into their podcast feed?
Into their blog post.
Yeah, well, but wouldn't that be a separate post?
No.
I mean, a separate feed?
No, it's when you're doing a podcast feed, everything that you put in the blog post is in your feed. If you look at my podcast feed, everything that you write in your show notes goes in your podcast feed. It's still a feed.
I understand. Yeah.
If you drop something in there that causes that feed to go invalid, and that's what happened. They dropped some code in there to have this cool player, and it broke their feed because some of it trickled into their RSS feed, caused it to go invalid. So,
yeah. And not all aggregator platforms display HTML or anything like that in their descriptions either. So
usually they strip all that. So we do so that we don't. We don't want to cause an SEO issue for podcasters. So,
hey, Rob. Sorry. Todd, did you get any dot equipment names?
Did I what?
Get any dot equipment names? I know you got some dot gurus.
Did I register one? I got progear.guru yesterday. Can't believe I got that one.
The equipments came out day before yesterday. Equipment.
Yeah. Did you get any?
I got catcher equipment and catcher's equipment. That's a normal term. I use in my business.
Yeah.
And then fast pitch softball equipment.
I didn't get some directory ones. Someone scored because I think the podcast.directory got bought by someone who paid a lot of money for it. I just bid the normal price.
So guys, are we seeing a shift in the usage paradigm of the web here with these new top level domains, do you think?
Well, it's going to cause us to spend a lot more money.
Well, yeah.
I think it's one of those things you can't afford not to
besides
get it
that,
in case it does.
Besides the point of making somebody else rich based off of kind of made up things. is there a re-indexing of the web that you think that we see happening here with these TLDs that are coming out, these new, you guys are buying them. I know I'm not buying them, but I guess my question gets back to is, should I be? Because, is there something that's coming here based on what's happening with that could change the paradigm of what we know the web to be?
Well, let's look at the new domains, Rob. It's stuff that's available right now that you can buy. .guru, .photography, .clothing, .bike, .estate, .singles, .ventures, .gallery, .equipment, .lighting.plumbing.graphics.camera. You know, it's, and I'm sure there's a lot of speculation going on .holdings. So, you know, that's just the first group of probably what's going to be 1,000 new TLDs. Can we cover all
of them? .stores? I mean, there's a lot of them coming out.
It's going to be huge. And there's a new land rush going on. And the way they've, basically, if you have a lot of cash, you're going to be set off very well. You know, for example, the .guru, they did it in stages. The first ones, if you wanted certain, there was like $12,000 to buy a .guru. And the stage one, stage two, it went down like $8,000. Stage three, it went down to $5,000. So unless you're willing to shell up the big bucks and do a gamble, you're probably not going to get the gear you want. I mean, get the domain you want. I don't know who ended up with
that. Yeah, I haven't gotten any of my big choices. I've always gotten things that said, oh, I'll take this. It's a good one. I'll take it if I got it. But I've not gotten anything that I wanted.
Yeah.
I think it, you know, the question that keeps coming up in my mind is it, is that TLD extension going to be used in some way? Kind of like if I think back to the old Yahoo, right, when that search engine was really just a really advanced directory. Do you guys think we're heading back to some sort of a directory paradigm with domains? Is that where this is heading, you think?
I think what it is you've got people that are what it is. It's a Google game.
Okay, so it's keyword driven. Oh,
it's
right?
Yeah, it's largely going to be key. I really do think so. Now, podcasting.guru, some domain speculator bought it. It's already available for sale on SEDO.com.
But Todd, I can see where the term equipment is probably more valuable than maybe guru. I guess guru would be for somebody that's like a consultant or something like that,
or a blogger. You know.
Yeah. Yeah, but that's not really a search term that anybody's going to use to find somebody, right?
You might, you know.
Think so?
Yeah,
Type in like podcast guru or something like that.
Okay, so but let's say right now you have all the podcast domains are pretty much bought up. You know, so if you want a shorter podcast domain, you know, you're doing something in that you could use the guru extension, or like I got progear.guru. I think it's probably going to be the name of the new show that Don and I do, you know, so it's hard to say, you know, how these are going to be used and how they're going to pan out in Google.
So you're branding your company based on both your, the first part of the TLD and the last part of it as almost like a phrase per se, right? Versus how we've always done it now, where the first part of the domain, you know, the newmediashow.com, right? It's been new media show. Now it's going to be newmediashow.something.
Can you imagine newmedia.show? That would be great. Yeah, But I don't think there's going to be a TLD for show. At least I haven't seen it yet.
Well, I thought there was a show.
And why wouldn't there be, right?
It's like $100,000 to roll out a TLD. So maybe someone didn't think it was worth doing that.
But they're rolling out to roll out equipment. I mean,
that's a really long word too. Yeah.
Yeah. Who's rolling all these out at $100,000 each? Because there's a mess of them.
Oh, there's a huge number of them. Let's see here. Yeah, there is going to be a dot show that's going to roll out.
The dot store.
But what's surprising, there was no dot podcast. Imagine if there was a dot podcast.
Well, I don't think that's necessary. I think show covers it, right?
Yeah, show covers it.
And I think it probably head in that direction. Makes a lot of sense because people tune into shows. They don't tune into you know podcasts.
Right. Let's see if I can look and see when this is. There a date on one dot show is going to be brought available? It doesn't say. Let's see here. Date which dot show it'll be available. Let's see if I can find it. Yeah, TLD rollout dates. Let's see if I can do that.
So where are you buying these at?
I've been GoDaddy? So far, I've been buying them at GoDaddy.
So have I.
And I can use my 32% off code to buy the Dot Gurus for like $9 less than they are, because they're not cheap. They're $40. You know, they are not cheap.
So when the Dot Show comes out, we should probably get the New Media Dot Show, right?
We probably just lost it.
You think we just lost it just now, right?
Yeah, probably.
Because somebody else just ran out and bought it just because we talked about
it. Well, someone may, you know, and I was being very quiet. I wasn't telling anybody which gurus I was buying. I was not saying anything. And I've got some gurus I'm still not saying what I bought, because I'm just trying, because I'm, you know, I'm strategically trying to figure out, okay, how's that going to work? So, you know, I have 230 domains, Rob, so I do domain speculation anyway. And
Todd, get on it, man. Get on it right now.
But I've bought a lot of podcasting domains. I have a huge, huge inventory of them. And so I have
almost 600. So I'm there with you. I know exactly what you're talking about.
So you still have them over 600, Gary?
Yeah, yeah. Maybe it's 590 or something, but it's a large, I don't go count them, but it's a large quantity.
So, you know, that's, Rob, that's a $5,000 a year investment to renew those.
Jesus.
You know? If you think about that, it's not an inexpensive, I don't want to call it a hobby, because it's like I said, I sell a couple a year. You know, I've got one I've been sitting on that some guy's been thinking about wanting to buy for the last 6 months, and I have my price, and he's going to write me a check. And if he doesn't write me a check, when I move them, I sell them through a broker, because it's real easy to, there's a process when you sell them to make sure you got your money, unless you know somebody you can trust them.
I basically still have every sport with the word podcast or podcast that there is. I mean, there may be a couple I just missed when I was buying, but racing, wrestling, basketball, football, baseball, you name it, podcast or podcasts.
Right.
I think I have it. So I've been holding on to those for a while.
Let's see here. I was going to look here.
So where is the show listed? I'm actually searching for it.
And GoDaddy may not have dot show from
I don't see it.
Yeah, they may not have. I was going to look here at another site. And what is the cost right now to pre-register? I'm on a different site right now. Does it say? Can I register that? How much is it going to cost me? Well, again, it's, you know. It's
where are you at looking for that, Todd?
I don't want to say on the air right now. Instra.com is where I'm at. And I don't know if they're the official folks or not. Because, see, not all sites have... I'm typing here. Someone's going to beat me to this and buy the stupid thing. So, you know, and that's, you know, that's going to be a big part of the, you know, it's to be this new land rush to buy domains, and who knows, we might get stuck with a bunch of worthless junk, you know.
That's why I'm asking the question, because I, you know, unless there's some agenda here, the bigger kind of movement that we're seeing happen, I question the value of them.
It's just, you know, it's going to be one of those things you're going to see over time, you know, what ends up happening, you know.
What is this one in Arabic language or something here?
Oh, they've got all kinds of, yeah, they've got Arabic ones. They've got, come on.
It's the World Wide Web, Gary.
Yeah.
Thanks.
And some of the new TLDs are very, very expensive. I mean, very high. Oh, come
on.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, like luxury. Like $10,000 to be...
That's crazy.
Let's see here. Yeah.
Luxury.
I tried to get podcast out equipment, Gary, and it got kicked. I just got the announcement. So that one I didn't get. So someone else bought it. Got
so where on the GoDaddy site can you search for these? Because I'm not seeing it.
You have to go to find domain.
Find a domain.
Here at the top, they have the banner rolling about it.
So,
here it is. Oh, here they are. Okay. See all our new domains.
So let's try this. My God.
Okay. Dot bike. Dot clothing. Dot camera.
Dot bike. That gives me one. It was like, how many people are buying dot bike? I mean, how many bike companies? I mean, really? Right. Are there that many people that want dot bike?
Yeah.
Yeah. And then dot uno. Dot cab.
Yeah.
I don't know. Some of these, it's hard to visualize what the use is of them.
Yeah.
There's even dot land.
So, you know, it's some of those will be real premium. They're definitely going to, they're going to cost a lot of money.
Dot technology here, Todd. Yeah. You see this one?
Yeah, but I don't know if I want to buy dot technology because
I know it's kind of stupid. Yeah.
So I guess we'll have to see where it's going to lead.
Yeah. Well, I guess we all need to put our thinking caps on to think this one through.
Yep. Yep. So, and of course, they're going to have, and what they've also done is the domain people have restricted some domain registrations. If they're the group that's going to order them or can control them, they basically take all 4 and 5 letter domains and they just take them off the table and then they make them available for premium. I've got 1.tv. I got tpn.tv. That's a 3-letter .tv domain. I can't move that. It's stuck at the register of which I registered at. I've got a 10-year registration on it, but I can't.
Oh, you're locked to be there. Okay.
Yeah, but I can't. I can't move that domain to GoDaddy because that TLD is, because it's a 3-letter domain. It's held by the whoever was the one that's agreed to allow the, that registration
that just
to happen.
That person, because I didn't have any problem moving my .tv.
Well, how many letters was it?
Oh, it wasn't 3.
Yeah, see, a 3.
It was because of the size.
Because it's a premium domain, a 3 to 4 5, so they've restricted where those can move. So, yeah, it's going to be ugly. But
so, Todd, I saw a dot audible in here. I'm sure that the Audible folks aren't going to be too happy about that.
Well, maybe Audible owns that.
I don't know.
I would expect so. I think Audible was probably the one that went and bought that domain. So now they're going to be able to have whatever book.audible. You're going to be able to, they'll be able to set domains for each offering. And that's smart on their part. I bet you that.
You think that's what's going on. And then also there's .audio too.
You wouldn't think they'd be selling any of them if they were doing that because they'd want to.
Yeah,
they want to give away a name for something that could be like a great show book later or something.
Yeah,
yeah, but that's a name of a popular company. So I haven't seen too many other of these that were what I consider to be kind of company names.
Right.
Yeah,
but I guess we'll see. We'll see what happens and with this, and the domain speculators out there buying them up. I can't imagine the type of money that's being spent. Has to be huge.
And then there's also dot radio in here too. I saw.
I bet you are going to end up paying a huge. I bet, and they may restrict those to radio stations. They could. Imagine having call words KHNL.radio.
Yeah.
But if you already own the .com, they may stick with the .com. But some radio stations, one of mine here in Hawaii, can't get his call letters because it's bought by somebody that's sitting on a domain.
Yeah, and then there's also dot sucks. So should we all buy that so nobody uses
so,
that
yeah, someone,
you
someone,
know, against us?
So someone can't buy robgreenlee.sucks? Yeah.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, there you go, guys.
But you can just buy that with first names, and you can direct it to whoever you want.
There you
Bob
go.
Sucks. Todd sucks. Gary sucks. And, you know, if you get all the main names, you're covered. Whoever comes up that sucks, you just make page about them.
You know,
go, hey, I'd like to buy this domain name I have. You suck.
You know, but just what it really boils down to is, no matter if you buy a domain name, you got to put some stuff behind it. You know, so that's what's going to happen. The dot show ones are going to be available in quarter two, 2014. So we got some time.
Okay.
But imagine dot ads, dot art, dot audio, dot band, you know, dot movie, dot music, dot, like I said, dot theater, dot studio.
Yeah.
Dot video. You know, it's going to get, I'm just thinking about my poor credit card.
Yeah, I know. Well, somebody's getting richer, that's for sure.
You have to go to other sites to get them.
Yeah, some of these you can't get.
I wonder why GoDaddy doesn't have them all.
Because I think they have to license to get whoever the rollout person is. I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure that dot show is going to wind up being a pretty popular one. I mean,
I would think so.
I mean, in the podcasting space, anyway.
It should.
Yeah.
You know, so people are going to, you know, be land rushing to buy, you know, that one. I might consider buying a three-letter domain. You know, I might spend $1,000 on something like that, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. That's true. I mean, if you can get it short.
You know, but are you going to rebrand your whole, you know? And the thing is, it's what also has got to be scary for is the people that are sitting on very expensive domains. Okay. So example, podcast.com. Yeah. Whoever just scored podcast.directory, it really just lowered the value of podcast.com.
Hmm.
You know, so it's these higher, you know, so now some, my opinion is some domain name should come down in price. And I think that's part of the strategy here, that they're trying to bring so many new domains in that, you know, that it's going to, you won't have so many domain speculators sitting on stuff. So I've been very, I think I've ordered 5 or 6 dot gurus that I actually have. You know, I'm really proud of the progear.guru. I think that one's going to be really good.
I've got one dot guru. I'm kind of like taking my time because there's so
many.
Yeah,
me too.
I mean, you can't go a whole lot of the one. Are you going to end up? I end up with 2,000 imports all over.
Right.
So, you know, I'm just getting that one or two out of each thing. Like, catcher's equipment was a great one, to be honest with you, because I saw a ton of catcher's equipment.
Right.
You know? And so I think I may rebrand. I have catcherzone.com. I may end up rebranding that as catcher.equipment.
Yeah. You know, and from a business standpoint, think of the value of that, Rob. That's easy for someone to remember. Catchers.equipment. And people are going to start going looking for equipment. If I was looking for catcher gear, I'm going to go to catcher.equipment, right? So,
yeah. I'm just, it's not clear how this is all going to work for the podcasting space. And the new media space, how these domains are going to be used. Because some names, it doesn't really work. Right.
You know, they got media is going to be one of the ones. So just imagine buying new dot media, you know, it's.
Yeah, but media is such a bucket term, right?
It's true.
It doesn't really mean anything. That's the other thing too. I guess that's probably a good thing and a bad thing.
We'll see how Google treats these new domains.
Yeah. It'd be nice to know ahead of time.
Yeah, it would. But
yeah,
only time will tell.
Hey, have y'all got anything lately about from Google on? Do you remember when they were doing the tours of buildings inside and you could go to and did virtual walk through the store? Remember that a couple of years ago?
Virtual walks through which store, Jerry?
Any store. They did both my stores in our line.
Really?
I bought papers for my softball store. They came through and did the virtual tour. And if you go to the map for the store, Google, it shows you can click on it and do a virtual tour. You click a button and you can go down whatever aisle you want to go down.
Oh, that's
cool.
You
remember that?
Yeah, and I think they're still doing that. Yeah.
Asking, I guess they don't keep very good records, asking me if I have it done. And I was reading the email. Now they're charging for the photographer to come out to do it. Or it used to all be free.
Huh.
So evidently they're gearing that back up, and they're charging. I don't know what the photographer fee is. The photographer fee.
The question is, how much do you get analytics back on how many people go take your virtual tour?
No, you get no analytics. It's just something that's on the web, and they go, and they say people's sales have increased immensely once they do this or something.
Huh.
You know? It is kind of neat, but I don't know, you know, what you get out of it. I just thought it was interesting that they're starting that back up. It looks like, because I haven't heard anyone talk about that in a long time. I used to hear a lot of people talking about that. But it's street view, but inside your building.
Right.
So actually, yeah, you start outside the door, and then you go into the door, and you decide whether you want to go right, left, forward. You just walk around the store.
Right.
Yeah.
That's cool. Yep. All right, guys. We're here at, hour 33, so we're going to wrap this thing up. Rob, any thoughts on next week?
I'm going to have Mark Ramsey. Mark Ramsey Media, I think it's Mark Ramsey Media. Anyway, he's a longtime broadcast radio consultant. Actually, I did an hour and a half conversation with him on my own show here last summer on the My Digital Life show that I have, talking about the convergence of radio and podcasting. So I wanted to get him back on for us to talk about what's happening in the radio space and then what's happening from his view, this transition from what we see broadcast radio today into podcasting and on demand. And he also does a conference in June down in San Diego called Hivio. You go to hivio.com and you can check that out. I'm going to be a speaker at that event as well. And it just brings in kind of like people from the radio space, the digital audio space together and get them talking. So very cool. Anyway, so he's going to be on the show next week.
All right. Well, if you guys want to reach us, we did get some emails. I got a couple of private emails this month that we replied to. So our live from the last show. So thanks for those. They didn't want them necessarily read on the air, but you can send Rob and I an email at either Todd or Rob at New Media Show. That gets us in here. Gary, how can they reach you?
Pottertainment@gmail.com if they're want to reach me, if they're interested in finding out about writing for the magazine or just anything they want. Or they want to talk about the new podcast movement, whatever.
All right.
And like I said, that would be best, though, is pottertainment@gmail.com.
All right, pottertainment@gmail.com or at Gary Leland on Twitter. So, Rob, any final thoughts?
Not too much. Just plugging away with stuff, and go check out podcast1.com as well. And there's a lot of great shows there that you can listen to right on the website. And I can be found at Rob Greenlee on Twitter too. So
very cool. Hey, just so if you're thinking about starting a podcast, I am offering a 1 month trial over at Blueberry for our hosting. And if you use the promo code Geek News on the promo code link on the checkout, you'll get 1 month free to try the service out. So thanks, guys, for being here. And we'll see you next go around, everyone. Audience, thanks for being here. We'll see you next week. Aloha.
Okay, bye.
Adios.